Presenting Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves.
CX-4 calling control towers. CX-4 calling control towers. Standing by.
Control tower back to CX-4. Wind southeast. Ceiling 1200. All clear.
Okay. This is Hop Harrigan coming in.
Yes, it's America's ace of the airwaves. Coming in for another transcribed episode in the adventures of Hop Harrigan.
You know, fellas and girls, it's becoming a fact that anything under the sun can be shipped by air. Everything from mushrooms to bees to midget racing cars and even ham sandwiches have joined the parade of articles carried by air. In 1947, cargo operations of airlines more than doubled. A survey made by United Airlines of last year's air shipping operations brings out a lot of small facts that add up to a record year for the airlines. For example, United Airlines carried about 50,000 pounds of mushrooms from one grower in Salem, Oregon, to markets in San Francisco and Los Angeles. Shipments ranged from several hundred to 1,000 pounds and were flown as far as 1,000 miles. Loads were placed aboard planes in the evening and flown to Los Angeles in time to be sold the following morning in a fresh and marketable condition. Mushrooms, you know, are very perishable. They spoil very quickly after they're gathered. A long trip by rail or truck is liable to leave them in bad condition. But this particular grower in Oregon gets top prices for his mushrooms because of the speed of air freight. Other foods new on Air Express and air freight lists in 1947 were butter, vanilla, crumpets, and king crabs. As for sandwiches, a batch was made one morning in Los Angeles and flown hundreds of miles in time to be eaten for lunch at an outing. From the far-off Hawaiian Islands, products such as tropical flowers, native-made candy, and fresh pineapple come to the States in almost the same condition they left the islands. More later, gang, so don't forget to listen. And now to our story. When Harry Charles, the owner of the Greendale Airport, was shot dead before their very eyes, Hop and Tank knew immediately that he had been killed by the mysterious Lightning Organization to ensure his silence. And when the state police suddenly arrived, answering a call that had been placed 5 minutes before the murder, they realized the organization was trying to pin the crime on them. But they never dreamed how thoroughly the organization operated, for just as they were released by the officer in charge, after telling him their story, George Dudley, another member of the organization who had wrecked their training plane that morning, landed and directly accused them of the murder. Now, it is a half hour later. After taking his statement, the officer in charge has released Dudley and turns to face Hop and Tank.
Well, Harrigan, that sort of puts a different complexion on the case, doesn't it?
Hey, listen, you don't believe that punk, do you? Everything he said was a lie. A couple of guys by the names of Brown and Lugie did the shooting, and that punk Dudley is covering for him.
Well, let's see now. Dudley said that you and Charles were business rivals. Your airport is only 100 miles away. I should imagine the competition would be pretty keen.
It wasn't. There wasn't no competition at all.
And you say you never argued or fought with Charles?
No, never. Hey, look, why should you believe Dudley any more than you believe us?
I didn't say I did, Tinker. Just getting the facts, that's all. Okay, you can go now.
Thank you, officer.
You're returning to Lakeville, aren't you?
That's right.
Well, I suggest you stick pretty close to home for the next couple of days. Headquarters may want to ask you a few more questions.
We'll be there.
Good. So long.
Goodbye, officer. Come on, Tank.
Tank literally steps on his friend's heels in his eagerness to leave the scene of Harry Charles' death. And a few moments later, when the boys are finally airborne again, roaring through the early evening sky back to Lakeville, he complains angrily.
The way he talked, he practically accused us of shooting Harry Charles.
He's just trying to collect facts, Tank. He wasn't making any accusations at all.
So what do we do now?
Well, that's a very interesting question.
What's the interesting answer? Wait. For what?
Another visit from Brown and Lugie. I'm sure they'll show up again.
What'll we tell them this time?
Same answer, no sale.
So we're right back where we started from.
Yeah, but this time I'm going to see if I can find out who the boss of the organization is.
Why? We're having enough trouble with just Brown and Lugie.
Harry Charles was shot when he started to tell us who the boss was. So keeping his identity a secret must be pretty important to him.
Well, you don't think Brown is just going to up and tell you, do you?
We'll have to find out some way.
We'll have to find out a lot of things some way. So far, we're batting exactly zero. And if we don't start hitting soon, we're either going to find ourselves out of business or dead.
As Tank shakes his head in grim prophecy, Hop opens the throttle a notch wider, anxious to reach Lakeville as soon as possible. After a few minutes of uneventful flight, he suddenly starts, stares out into the night sky beyond his port wingtip, and then exclaims...
Well, I was wondering when he'd show up. Huh? Our pal is back.
Pal? Oh, you mean Dudley?
Yes, off to port. See his navigation lights?
You sure it's him?
Positive. That's the Stinson, all right.
I wonder what he's up to now.
Can't tell yet. He seems to be holding his distance, flying a parallel course.
Hey, maybe edging a little closer?
Seems to be.
On your toes, pal. That guy is liable to do anything.
I'm watching him.
Hey, look, if he gets any closer, why don't you give him the business? Fly him right into the ground.
No. Then we'd be playing their dirty game.
Oh, it's working fine for them, ain't it?
But it won't for us. We're staying well within the law. That's our one chance to beat them.
Oh, yeah?
Sure. Catch them in a mistake and we'll have them.
Easier said than done, pal. Hey, he's really flying close now. I swear there ain't 2 inches separating our wingtips.
I can stand it as long as he can.
Yeah, what about me? On the top, there's no telling what that crazy kid will do next.
Relax, Tank.
Relax at a time like this?
Then look the other way or close your eyes.
I can't.
He's handling his ship pretty well. We won't tangle.
Tell me again.
Huh?
I'm trying to talk myself into sleep. Oh, I know it.
Take it easy, will you? We just hit a little bump.
Where's Dudley?
Still holding off our port wing. Followed right through with us.
You mean he ain't come any closer?
If he had, he'd be on our starboard side. No, he hasn't budged an inch.
Hop, I don't get it. What's he up to? What's he trying to do?
You got me, pal. Until he makes his next move, we'll just have to ride it out with him.
Hop, this is making a nervous wreck on him. We've been flying wingtip to wingtip for the last 25 minutes. What's Dudley think he's doing?
That's the 25th time you've asked me that question, Tank. I don't know.
Well, something's got to happen soon. Our field's right over the next bridge.
Give me wheels and flaps. I'll start letting down.
Check. Wheels down. Flaps down.
He's losing altitude right with us.
You don't suppose he's going to land with us?
I shouldn't think so.
Oh, brother, if he does...
Hey, there's the field turning into the approach.
He's turning with us.
That I don't like.
Why not? If he goes in, we'll have him. Boy, would I like to punch his teeth in.
He might be entertaining some cute idea of messing up our landing.
Uh-oh, never thought of that.
Down to 200 feet. He's still holding?
Yeah.
150.
Hey, he's edging over.
I thought so. He's trying to crowd us off the runway.
Hop, move, or we'll lock wing.
Move nothing.
But Hop, he's cutting right into it.
Let him.
Oh, no, I can't look. What happened?
Nothing.
What do you mean, nothing?
He's landed. We're okay.
What's done with you?
His bark is worse than his bite. He didn't have the nerve to follow through. He sheared off.
I kept seeing his engine winding up in my lap.
Okay, we're on the apron. Pile up.
Pleasure. You suppose Gail's still here?
Well, light's on in the office. Come on.
Funny she ain't come out to meet us like she always does.
Yeah, maybe she didn't hear us. Well, she's on the phone calling the rest of those airports.
Oh, yeah. Look, Hop, we ain't going no place else tonight, are we?
I don't think so. Why?
Well, I ain't had nothing to eat since breakfast.
Yeah, I knew that was a leading question when I asked. Go on in. We'll have dinner later.
Good. Hiya, Gail. We're back.
Did you call those fields? Gail, what's the matter?
Hey, why are you looking at us so funny?
Because you're funny looking, Tinker.
Huh? Brown.
That's right, Harrigan. Close the door, Lugie. Now that the boys are here, we can have a nice, cozy little chat.
The gigantic, shambling figure of Lugie lurches to the door, slamming it closed. Miss Brown lounges against the wall near the window, smiling arrogantly. What will be the result of this third meeting? We'll know in a moment, gang, so stand by. Now, fellas and girls, let's get back to the airshipping picture and how it stands to shape up during 1948. Many articles took to the air for the first time last year. Loads of washing machines, motion picture projectors, a midget racing car, men's hats, a live tree, live turtles, even some penguins, and a kangaroo. From this country, many items went out by air, including newspapers, magazines, and medical emergencies. Many times, Air Express has saved lives. Iron lungs, shipped by plane to Idaho last year during a polio epidemic, were credited with checking the dread disease. One long-range air shipment toward the close of 1947 helped put out fires raging through the state of Maine. Fire hoses were put aboard speedy cargo planes in Seattle and flown across the country to Bar Harbor, Maine. A dangerous cholera epidemic, threatening thousands of lives in the Middle Eastern countries, ran rampant, until Serum, rushed by air from the United States, arrived to save the day. A lot of unusual items attract quite a bit of attention. For instance, the kangaroos and penguins, which were shipped by air. But these are only exceptions to the general cargo of our airlines. Most of them carry, for the most part, such ordinary items as automobile parts, clothing and flowers, fresh fruits and vegetables, electrical equipment, radio and telephone parts. The picture is bright for aviation and air freight, and it's fast becoming a fact that anything under the sun can be shipped by air. And say, gang, aviation is getting to be more a part of our lives every day. There's a great future in the air industry for young men and women. Air leaders are looking to you fellas and girls for the flyers and technicians of tomorrow. So always remember, America needs flyers. And now back to our story. Returning to Lakeville, Hop and Tank are surprised to find Brown and Luigi, representatives of the organization, waiting for them in their office. Gail, seated behind the desk, explains...
Sorry, Hop, I couldn't warn you. Luigi was pointing a gun at me.
He wouldn't have, sister, if you'd been more cooperative.
Cut the chatter, punk. What are you doing here?
Now, that's a stupid question, Tinker.
Making another pitch for us to join the organization, huh?
Naturally.
Well, you can take your organization...
Wait, Tank. Listen, Brown, how do we know you're really what you say you are?
Because I tell you.
Yes, but how can we be sure that if we pay you $1,000, you won't just take the money and beat it? And we still won't be in the organization.
Why, Hop?
Hop, you ain't thinking
of... Please, Tank. How about it, Brown?
The answer is, you don't know.
Well, then it'd be pretty... going through you, wouldn't it?
What are you driving at, wise guy?
I want to see someone else in the organization before I join.
Who, for instance?
The boss.
That's what I thought you were getting at.
Well?
You're awful anxious to meet him, aren't you? Too bad Harry Charles couldn't tell you who he is.
And you did shoot him, didn't you?
Prove it, Chum.
We will, sooner or later.
I don't think so. As a matter of fact, the boots are kind of tight on your feet, from what I understand.
I've been talking to George Dudley lately.
Maybe. Kid does a good job, doesn't he?
I'll do a good job on him one of these days.
Well, how about it, Brown? Do I meet the boss or don't I?
You've been doing a lot of nosing around, Harrigan.
You're not answering my question.
These papers, for instance.
The list of airports you asked me to call, Hop. He saw it.
They're marked. Guys who've joined and guys who haven't. You're not getting any big ideas, are you, chum?
That depends. Do I meet your boss or don't I?
Okay, Harrigan, it's a deal.
Fine.
But I'm warning you, he only comes to a place once. Then the guys sign up or they're through, you understand?
Yes, I understand.
I don't think you do, but we'll let it go for now. Just remember this, chum. Everything that's happened up to now will be a picnic compared to what'll happen if you don't sign up when the boss gets here.
Yeah, sure. When do you bring him in?
Tomorrow, maybe. Depends on how he feels. Let's go, Luigi. Remember what I'm telling you, Harrigan. The boss don't make trips for nothing. Be seeing you.
Oh, what an utterly repulsive little creature.
You can say that again.
Let's hope he comes through for us.
Bringing the boss in.
Yes, but how do you know that's going to be good?
Maybe it won't, maybe it will, but at least it'll be better than battling shadows. I've got a hunch our next meeting with Brown, Luigi, and company will be very interesting.
But as Hop looks forward to the meeting, Tank and Gale shake their heads in dismay, remembering Brown's parting thrust. What will happen? Who is the mysterious head of the organization? We'll learn more in our next suspense-packed episode, gang, so don't fail to listen. Tune in and fly with Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves. Come on, Hop. We'll be seeing you same time, same mutual station. Hop Harrigan is a transcribed, copyrighted feature appearing in All American Comics magazine.